I don't know if you've ever heard a lesson like this, but we're going to talk about horseshoe religion. And the point of the lesson is close is good enough for many things in this world, but it's not good enough for God. So we'll see that as we go along. Horseshoes can be scored differently depending on who is playing. And a lot of times you think, well, that's just for the old timers. Well, they still do that. In different parts of the country, they have a get together. They have horseshoes. If it's not horseshoes, maybe they're pitching washers or something like that. But anyway, the scoring of horseshoes is basically how the horseshoe lands around or by the stake. Some of us have played this before. Some of us probably have only heard of it. And some think it's totally dumb to throw horseshoes at a metal stake. But anyway, ringer, if the horseshoe fits inside the stake, then it's a ringer, 5 points. And then a leaner is 3 points. Toucher is 2 points. And closest two also gets 2 points. Now, it's supposed to go to whatever you decide. 25 is normally a game. When the first person reaches 25, they win. So anyway, the quicker you can make ringers, the quicker you can win the game. All right. This may work for most people who toss horseshoes, but it does not always work in religion. And we're going to see tonight, a lot of people think it does. However, many feel that if they get close, they're going to be all right. And that's a problem that maybe we might fall into is, well, I'm getting close, and that ought to be good enough. Because we're setting the standard on how we feel instead of how God feels about it. See, what if Noah made the ark 299 cubits long? It's close. I mean, he was asked to build it 300 cubits long. What if he only did 299? Would that have been good enough for God? Think about that. I already see some people shaking their head no. And that's right. I don't think it would have been good enough for God. God gave a specific instruction. He expects that specific instruction to be met. And so, it would not comply with the measurement God gave Noah. So we know Noah built the ark 300 cubits long. And then, of course, the other dimensions. And one door and one window. We know he did that because Noah was saved by faith through that ark. He was saved from the water. 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us that. He was saved. 8 souls were saved because of Noah's compliance to the truth. Now, there's too many people in the world today says, well, if you're just close, then God's going to give you points for that. Well, no, not really. He's going to deduct points, if anything. And so, we're going to look at that. All right. Sure, we understand if we just make the effort that God pays attention to that. And what may be one person's best may not be somebody else's best. What's the most one person can do, somebody else probably has a responsibility to do more. And so each individual has to basically get up there and do the very best they can. That's what God expects. That means we're to try and make and put forth our very best effort. Because that's what God wants. He wants our very best efforts in all that we do. Not just one or two things. It might be somebody thinks, well, I'm a good singer, so I'll give my best effort in singing, but they don't do anything else. I mean, that's not going to cut it. It needs to be involved in everything. And we must be earnestly trying to do the things the way God wants us to do them. Like he did with Noah. He said, you build this ark 300 cubits long. And most of us would probably reason in our mind that if he'd made it only 299 cubits, would that be close enough? Would that be good enough for God? I don't think so. And however, that's how most of the world thinks, right? The denominational world think, well, if you're close, that ought to be good enough for God. What they're doing is expecting God to take less than the very best we can offer. We at least need to be trying to score a ringer in every aspect of our Christian lives. And we're going to look at different areas of our lives and our relationship with God and see, okay, are we going to do in a ringer? Are we going to do leaners or closest to or something like that? So we're going to notice these areas. Concerning our salvation, we know what the Bible says. The Bible is very specific, and we repeat that quite often from this pulpit. And our members, usually, if they have the opportunity, they repeat God's plan of salvation to people they come in contact with. But our salvation cannot be accomplished by a leaner of faith only. How many times have you heard that? Somebody declare, faith only is all you need for salvation. I mean, the first question I ask them, okay, so you say faith only, do we need God? I mean, if they have to acknowledge, well, yes, we need God, then your faith only falls. It absolutely does. Do we need Jesus dying on the cross? Well, then your faith only fails. So if anybody says, well, I just believe faith only produces salvation, ask them if they believe in God, if they need Jesus Christ and his blood. Then they find out real quick, wait a minute, there's more to it than faith only. And it becomes obvious, or it should. Some might be a toucher, well, I'm sorry for what I've done and don't do anything else. I mean, yes, we're told. Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Some people, well, I'm sorry I did what I did, Lord, but they don't go any farther than that. They don't confess his name, they're not baptized, but yet they have repented. And that's good enough for them. Is it good enough for God? Well, we know the answer to that. Maybe a closer to, some people actually go down and are baptized. But that's all they do. They don't do anything after that. They don't grow. They don't put forth any effort to become a better Christian. So there's the leaner, the touch, and the closer. But it must be a ringer for salvation to take place. It's a combination of all of these things. You know, it's by faith. Yes, we need that faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. And we must repent. We must confess his name. And we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. And then take one step further, we've got to live a faithful life. What about our worship? It cannot be accomplished by a leaner of maybe just regular attendance only. Yes, we are commanded to gather and assemble with the saints whenever we can, and we should, every opportunity we have, and trying to come up with reasons we don't have to assemble with the saints, I think is very weak and puts souls in jeopardy. But they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews 10:25. Some people, well, that's all they do. They maybe show up, but they don't do anything else for Christ. And they don't participate in the worship service. A toucher of praying only. Some people think, well, that's all they have to do. I'll pray. Sometimes they do it without the saints around, and sometimes they do it with the saints. But they don't do anything else. They don't sing when the song leader's up there. I'm sure Randy can tell you there's a whole bunch of people he looks out when singing is taking place, and this is what he sees. A closed mouth. Right? Yeah, okay, he's not going to put himself in that spot. I'll do it for you because I've done it too. But anyway, a closer to of giving only. Well, I'll give them some money every now and then. And I've done my duty to God. You know, some people feel that if they just show up to church on Sunday morning, they have done their weekly duty to God. And they don't, they don't have to do anything else. And it's quite obvious they feel that way because they don't do anything else for the Lord. But it must be, for a ringer to take place, it must be a combination of all of these things. All the acts of worship that we do, and not just the praying and the giving and the singing that we might do and the attending. I mean, the Lord's Supper, respecting the Lord's Supper and listening to the sermon. All of these things have to be involved. What about our lives, our general living? Well, it cannot be accomplished by good morals only. Yeah, we know a lot of people who basically display good morals, but yet if they haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, those good morals aren't going to help them one bit. So they're leaners. And maybe a toucher of maybe abstinence of certain things only. And they sit down and categorize sin and decide, well, this is bad. Okay, rape is bad. Stealing or robbing a bank is bad. Killing somebody is bad. So I'm not going to do those things. You know what? I can say, I've never done those things. I'm sure most of you can say the same thing. But is that good enough? No. A closer to maybe of helping others in need. We find out that there's a lot of good-hearted souls in this world who are basically, they will help others. They may not have a relationship with God, but they certainly go out of their way to help others. And we appreciate those kind of people, and those kind of people we kind of look to as an example. Maybe we should be helping others more than we are. But it must be a ringer including all of these things and the other things that is required. You know, 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, adding to your faith the virtue, the knowledge, the temperance, the patience, the godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Add these things to your faith. Constantly be diligent to do these things and you will never stumble. So our lives have to be involved in what God wants it to be involved with. Not what the world expects, but what God expects. Now here's for some as parents. A leaner of just whipping our child only. Yeah, we take the passage from Proverbs, train up a child, spare the rod, spoil the child, something like that. We got to discipline our children. But that's not what accomplishes their education. It's teaching them and guiding them. And that there's so many things as a parent we have to do with our children. Just whipping them every now and then to try and what we think might keep them in line. That doesn't work. Maybe a touch of sending them to Bible study on Sundays only. For most kids, that's the only education of the Bible they ever get. They don't get it at home where they're supposed to, but they don't get Bible education at home. They get to watch reruns of Andy Griffith, and maybe that's their good moral lesson for the day. But most time they're watching SpongeBob and his foul mouth and stuff like that. And so that doesn't do any good. So sending your kids to Bible study, that's not sending a good example either. When parents do that, they're telling their kids, I don't care about Bible study. Oh, but it's important for you to get it. Yeah, how's that going to turn out? Maybe a closer to of giving them the physical necessities of life only. I'll give you what you need. What you do with your life is up to you. I mean, it's obvious some parents do that with their kids. Hey, how you live your life is totally up to you. I'm not going to be involved in it. And sadly, that's what happens with a lot of people. But as parents, we have to make ringers in all of these and the other things required to fulfill our responsibilities as parents and homemakers. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4 talks about that, how the children need to obey the parents and the parents do not exasperate the children. Yes, there's a lot we do. Parents are given the great responsibility of training up a child in the way he should go. And God gives us that privilege to mold a young mind and mold a soul to lead them in the right direction. Sadly, a lot of people, a lot of children are not led in the right direction. So when they grow up, they're not following the Lord. They are of the world. And for some people, that's okay. Even as children. Children, if a leaner of just wearing our parents' name only, Well, I was born in the family, but that's the only relationship I have with them. That's not going to cut it. That's not what God wants. A touch of calling them mother and father only, but yet not respecting them. If they say take out the trash, you don't do it. I mean, that's nothing. Well, you're my mom, you're my dad. You can tell me what to do all day long. I'm not going to do it. I mean, that's the attitude of rebellion coming across. And we know how God is opposed to rebellion. Maybe staying where they stay only. Well, they live here. Okay, they gave me a room, so I can live here too. But I'm going to get out as soon as I can. Have you ever heard somebody say that? A lot of times in high school, you hear people saying, I'm going to get out just as fast as I can. I don't want to be under their rule. I don't want to be under their bootstraps or anything like that. But that's not what children should be doing. Our lives as children must be ringers, including respect, allegiance, honor, and obedience to our parents. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. How we treat others. Well, how are we going to treat others? If we follow the horseshoe religion, we just wish them well, or live and let live. You know, that's what most of the world decides. Live and let live. I'll do my thing, you do your thing. And there's a lot of people in church want to basically follow that mantra of life. I'll do my thing, you do your thing. If you want to live the type of life that'll send you into eternal torment, I'm not going to interrupt you at all. And that's the way a lot of people are. Shouldn't be that way. A touch of maybe I mentioned Christ to him once. Many years ago, I mentioned something. He said he wasn't interested. So I'm not ever going to say anything again to him about Christ. He made that he made that decision. He made his bed. He's going to have to sleep in it. Or he made his cake. He's going to have to eat it. Whatever metaphor you want to use is going to fit here. And then maybe a closer, we get to the point where, oh, what's the use? We can talk all day long, and if they don't want to live a faithful life, what's the use in getting them to try? Or us trying to encourage them to do so? That seems to be an attitude with a lot of people. But our consideration must be ringers of sincere care and love for their souls that will produce action on our part to convert them to Christ. We find that in Galatians 6, 1 through 10. And we are to bear the burdens. And even though we're commanded also in verse 2 to each one must bear his own burden, yes, we do have to bear our own burden, but we also need to assist others. You know, Romans 15, verse 1 tells us, we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of those who are weak. And so sometimes maybe it takes a little judgment to figure out, well, what's a weak individual? I mean, it's one who basically is taking a chance with their soul. They're a weak individual. And so we have to show that love, that sincere care. And as we talked this morning in our class, we have to show that submission to them and the humility on our part to tell them, I am interested in your soul. That's what the ringer is. That's what God wants us to do. But a lot of times we just wash our hands of the matter and let them basically stand before God on their own without trying to help them. What about our brethren? You probably thought I was talking about our brethren. But cannot be accomplished by a leaner of, oh, I don't know why he's not here in services today. You know, there's a lot of people, if you look at our membership roll, and you see all the names down there, and you see they're not here. Well, some today, we know some are traveling, and some are probably not feeling very well, like Al. But some just said, I don't feel like I want to go to church tonight. I won't go to church tonight. And, okay, well, they're going to have to answer for that. But our leaner is, well, let them get away with it. Let them do whatever they want. A toucher of it might make him mad if I go see him or call him or ask him why. Yeah, we don't want to make anybody mad, do we? No, we really don't. and a closer to him, well, let him worry about his own soul. Pretty much what we said about the others. But our treatment of our brethren must be ringers made up of sorrow for sin and a deep desire to save a soul from hell. Fervent and unfeigned love must abound within our hearts for our brethren. James 5:19-20 tells us that. Yes, we need to be concerned about our brethren to the point that we will mention to them that we're concerned for their soul. What about our effort to reach heaven? Once again, we're talking about our individual efforts. What kind of effort am I going to put forth to reach heaven? Well, we can never reach heaven, the eternal home of the soul, by a leaner of just thinking about going. Yeah, there's a lot of people we can say, oh, they think about going to heaven. They think about it all the time. Oh, yeah, that's what they do. Now, they live their life like people of the world. They don't change their ways from people of the world, and people of the world can't distinguish them from themselves. But they're thinking about it. I mean, that's one thing. What does he say about good intentions? That paves the road to where? Yeah. We don't have to answer that. We know. Maybe it took, oh, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven so badly. And we hear this a lot. We hear people say it, but they don't put forth any effort. They don't try. They don't demonstrate anything that they are trying. Oh, but they want to go to heaven. Most of this world, if given a chance, would say, yeah, I want to go to heaven, but it's going to be on my terms, not on God's terms. Some of them are brazen enough to say that. Some people get so bold with themselves, oh, I'm going to heaven. There's no question about that. I've heard people tell me that for a long, long time. Oh, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. They're not living faithful. They're not going to church. They don't even care about entering a church building and worshiping God. Oh, but I'm going to heaven. I mean, they don't even open their Bibles to see if that's the case or not. They just believe that they're going. And maybe we could say on Judgment Day, surprise. But we have to leave that up to God, don't we? But we know what God's going to say. See, we must have the ringers of a deep desire to go to heaven. See, faith in God's promise and strict, faithful obedience to God until the end. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Be faithful until death, Revelation 2:10. And treating others as we should, Matthew 25, because what we do to the least of his people, his saints, we're doing it to him. We're doing it to Jesus. So we've got to make a ringer in these things. So if we liken the religion of Christ to the game of horseshoes, knowing that it takes ringers to score points that matter. As we said earlier, sometimes people feel, well, a leaner, close enough, closest to, there's some effort involved in that. But there's no trying. There's no diligence in that. Remember, we must enter the game and make ringers all the way. If we're going to be going to heaven, we've got to make those ringers. And we've got to do what is necessary. You know, the old farmers who get out there at the potlucks and then they're tossing their horseshoes. You think that's the only time they ever toss horseshoes? No, if they know there's going to be a potluck coming up and somebody's going to put a stake out there, I guarantee you somewhere on their farm they've got a stake. And they've got it measured off, and they have horseshoes, and they're going to be practicing because they want to win. Now, do we want to win? Do we want to reach heaven? We've got to practice at it. We can't score and win unless we enter the game. We liken to this the entering Christ. And we know how we do that. We obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we put him on in baptism. That puts us into a relationship with him, and then we have that responsibility to grow. You know, the leaners and the closest to isn't going to cut it. We've got to make these ringers. So why not enter into Christ and his religion today? And then play the game according to the rules and win the victory. Yeah, I've seen people kind of fudge when it comes to pacing themselves off. They'll stand 2 feet away from the stake if they think they can get away with it. Hey, I threw a ringer from 2 feet away. Wow, that takes a lot of skill, doesn't it? I mean, you're supposed to be 25 feet away. And those horseshoes aren't light. You've got to kind of put a little oomph to get them where they need to go. You got to put forth effort. And the problem is with a lot of people, they don't put forth any effort in trying to serve God. So think about those things. We're in a game. Yeah, well, we really shouldn't call it a game. The game of life, maybe. But if we're going to go to heaven, we've got to enter this relationship with God, and we've got to be faithful. And we've got to stick it out, and we have to give our very best effort. Each of us, we have to figure out what that is. Making the effort, not just a half-hearted effort, because that's the leaner or the closer. No, we've got to make that full effort to do the very best we can all the time. So consider those thoughts. We're going to sing our invitation song, and if anyone does have a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.